I am Susan Young. I'm chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of July 10th, 2025. We are still late. It is 8:37 Eastern Time. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Indeed, I will. Codger Brown? I'll keep going. Donna Carter?
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Fred Dodsworth?
Present.
Thank you, Fred. Jerome Edge?
I see him. Jerome? He's trying to say something.
Okay.
Let's come back.
I'll come back around.
Said something just then.
Sally Gellert? I'll keep going. Jan Goodman?
Here.
Thank you, Jan. Julie Hewitt, I'm here. Avalia Jones?
Here.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier? I'll keep going. Philip Muldery?
Here.
Thank you, Philip. Marianne Martinez? I'll keep going. Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am.
Thank you, Sean. Ron Pinchback?
Present.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason?
Present.
Thank you, Myla. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Thank you, Serene. James Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you, James. Actually, Minerva here. Sanders?
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Alex Steinberg? I'll keep going. Harvey Wasserman?
Here.
Thank you, Harvey. Dennis Williams?
I am here.
Thank you, Dennis. Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. Susan Young.
Here.
Thank you, Susan. Let me go back up the top, see if we have Codger Brown. How about Jerome Edge?
Present.
Thank you, Jerome. Sally Gellert. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Marianne Martinez. Alex Steinberg. All right, well, we'll see if those folks show up as we proceed. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. And Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Thank you, Aki. And Codger Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Codger. Okay. Madam Chair, we have 19, so we have a quorum.
Excellent. Madam Secretary, will you do me the favor of reading the agenda? And then I'll accept a motion to approve the agenda.
I can do that. Although I just, hang on 1 second. I want to make sure I don't use the wrong version of the agenda. And so here we go. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the report out from the June 5th meeting, which I'll go ahead and read. The PMB met in executive session to approve formation of a Pacifica review panel composed of PMB directors Julie Hewitt, Minerva Sanders, and Myla Reason to review and make recommendations to the PMB regarding possible disciplinary actions involving PMB directors and or local station board members. So that's the report out from June 5th. The next item is excused absences. The people that we have not present at the moment are Sally Gellert, Marianne Martinez, and Alex Steinberg. I do not believe that I got a request from anyone for an excused absence. And Marianne is asking me to send it to her by email.
And I just sent it again.
Oh, okay. And then I want to say something about last month at some point. So I don't know whether we want to excuse those absences. What's your preference, Chair?
Is there any objection to, well, excusing which absences? Those who have not requested them? We have no request for excused absences, correct?
Correct.
So then I don't think that we will be acting on any excused absences. Okay. Apologies, I was worrying about Marianne. Where are we now in the hole?
Can I say something about last month's meeting?
Yes.
We had two people who were absent last month. One was Ron Pinchback, and he requested an excused absence in advance, and I saw it. The other one was Alex Steinberg. Alex requested an excused absence, but I think I got it after I was already on the Zoom call, and so I didn't call that out as Alex having requested an excused absence for the June meeting. So I just wanted to be, you know, upfront about that. And again,
so can we take just a moment, because that's the subject. Is there any objection to recognizing the excused absences for Ron Pinchback and for Alex Steinberg for the June meeting, and that for the minutes to so reflect? Is there any objection? Hearing none, go ahead with the agenda.
Okay. So then the rest of the agenda. We have identified timekeepers next, but we have secured Darlene Pagano's volunteer service here for this one. So the next item up is agenda approval. It's a 5-minute item. And so I will now read the agenda. Item 3 on the agenda is minutes approval for the May 1st and June 5th meetings for 5. Number 4 is standing committee reports for 15 minutes. Number 5 is affiliates report for 10 minutes. Number 6 is executive director report and Q&A for 30 minutes. Number 7 is old business for 10 minutes. We have an item on non-disclosure agreement changes offered by James Sagerton. Number 8 is new business for 5 minutes. And number 9 is motion to move into closed session at a time no later than 9:45 p.m. Eastern time.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Jan seconds.
Okay. Are there any objections?
I have a question, please.
Okay. What's your question?
The ED piece, how many minutes is that?
That was 30 minutes total.
Okay. I would like to suggest that we break that up into presentation and Q&A because, we often run out of time while there's still questions. So I would like to propose that we break it into a 12-minute presentation and an 18-minute Q&A, please.
So, Serene, you are making a motion to amend the agenda. Is there a second to Serene's motion? Is there any objection to Serene's request? I'll say I object.
I object.
So there are objections. Do you wish for us to go forward with a vote, Serene?
Yeah, I'd like to explain my motivation for them. I'd like to motivate my motion.
You have already motivated, Serene. You said why you thought this was important. Serene has a motion to amend the agenda to have 12 minutes of a presentation and 18 minutes of Q&A for the ED report. Is there a second to Serene's motion?
May I ask a question?
Yeah, what's your question?
I wanted to find out how Stephanie felt about it. If her presentation is, you know, 10 minutes or something, that's one thing. If she has more to say, that's another thing.
Jan, we typically go back and forth with questions during. And she's got two major topics to discuss. Can we just go ahead and vote on this?
Okay.
If you vote,
I'd like to hear Stephanie.
Yeah, I did not hear a second, Madam Chair.
Second.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Sean. Appreciate it. So there's been a motion and a second. Will the secretary take the roll?
Chair, before you go to the roll, could I have a request?
Yes.
I really don't think I understand what the suggestion to, you know, have specific times for the two items is about. So I would like to hear a little more about what that's about. Would that be all right?
Yes. I must say, I think this is dilatory in the extreme, because when we have the ED reports, we go back and forth with Q&A as long as we need it. I think this is really about wasting time. Serene, will you explain what it is you want to separate in her report?
Yeah, I find your statement objectionable and prejudicial.
I agree. I understand. Yeah, please just address it.
There are times when Stephanie, you know, because we don't meet but once a month and we don't hear anything in between, where she might speak for 20 minutes and then there are questions, which means we might be able to get two people or three people in before we run out of time and have to extend. And then we run out of time and have to extend. I think if we're going to hear from her once a month on all that is happening in the foundation, you know, early reports are always best. And then presentation and an adequate amount for real dialogue about what it
Thank
is.
Thank you. You have answered the question. We're ready for the vote. Vote yes if you wish to divide, if you wish to amend the agenda to have its separation, 12 minutes of presentation and 18 minutes of Q&A. Vote no if you want to leave the agenda as it is with the ED report having 30 minutes. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
Point of order.
What?
We have two people who've joined us who need to be put on the voter roster. Sally Gellert and Marianne Martinez have joined us.
Thank you very much, Fred. Appreciate it. Sally, will you say hello?
Sure. Hi.
Got you, Sally.
Marianne, I don't think we heard you.
Present. Thank you. Got you, Marianne. Thank you. Okay. So I'll be sure to call your names as I go through the roll. Todja Brown?
No.
Todja's a no. Donna Carter?
Oh, yeah.
Donna's a yes. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
Fred's a no. Jerome Edge?
No.
Jerome's a no. Sally Gellert?
Yes.
Sally's a yes. Jan Goodman?
No.
Jan's a no. Julie Hewitt, I'll pass. Avalia Jones?
No.
Avalia's a no. Zach Caldvier? Zach?
No.
Zach, we lost you.
I got you. Zach's a no. Okay. Philip Muldery?
No.
Philip's a no. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Marianne's a no. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Nope.
Sean's a no. Ron Pinchback? Can't hear you, Ron.
I'm going to pass temporarily.
Okay. Ron's a pass. Myla Reason?
A no.
Myla's a no. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Serene's a yes. James Sagerton?
An abstain.
James abstains. Minerva Sanders?
No.
Minerva is a no. Alex Steinberg isn't here. Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Harvey's a no. Dennis Williams?
Abstain.
Dennis abstains. Michael Woodson? Michael? All right, let me go back through. Julie, you passed. I'll abstain. Ron, you passed.
Abstain.
Ron abstains. I don't have a vote for Michael Woodson. All right.
Let's count it as not voting for purposes of this. Go ahead and let us know the vote.
Yep, yep. Madam Chair, the yeses are 3, the noes are 12.
And the abstains?
There were 4 abstentions.
4 abstentions. Okay, the motion fails.
Madam Chair?
Yes? The agenda as without being amended is approved. Let's proceed. Madam Secretary, what's the first agenda item?
The first agenda item is minutes approval for the May 1st.
Help and us to preserve decency.
Someone has...
It's Jan was...
Okay, got background noise. Okay.
Hang on just a minute. Jan, do you have your hand up for a purpose? Apparently not. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, so it was minutes approval for the May 1st and the June 5th meetings. May 1st, we considered them.
Labor union. And take its side.
Hey, Jan, everybody mute yourselves if you're not speaking, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did just mute Jan because it seems that she's not intending to speak here.
States and suppressed rivals were not.
She unmuted herself. Okay. All right, so I have to go back to the, so we considered the May 1st minutes at the June 5th meeting, and Serene had a correction. I made that correction. It's in red line strikeout. I shared that with everyone. It was straightforward, so I'm hoping people would be prepared to approve the May 1st minutes. And then the June 5th minutes, I sent them out, but of course, we just had the brief discussion about we did excuse Ron Pinchback's absence at the June 5th meeting. That's already noted in the minutes. So per the suggestion, I will add excusing Alex Steinberg to the minutes. But are there any other corrections to the June 5th
meetings? Are there any other corrections? Hearing none, the minutes
I have a question for Julie.
Go ahead.
Serene, what's your question?
Okay. So I understand that you missed Alex's request during the June 5th meeting, but the minutes for June 5th can't say that we excused Alex because we didn't excuse Alex on June 5th. The minutes for tonight can say that we retroactively excused Alex for June 5th.
Fair enough. That's an excellent point, in my opinion.
So, if there is no objection to the minutes as Serene has recommended that they be crafted, we can move forward with the next agenda item.
I just need to abstain because I know you send them out this evening, but I haven't been able to read them.
Okay, thank you. Recognize that Serene is abstained.
Yep. Thank you. The next item... item 4 is a 15-minute item, and it is the 4 standing committee reports, and the first one up is the audit committee.
So, Minerva.
Right. The audit committee report.
Can you speak a little louder, Minerva? Would you be kind to speak? Thank you.
The audit committee report was sent out to all of the members of the audit committee. There was one person we didn't have an email for, and that was Sally. Last name,
Gellert.
Okay. So we'll have to get that information sent to her. The report, just one second, I want to... Basically, was not any different than what we shared at the last meeting. We all of the members understand that we are part of the committee and that we're waiting to hear from the executive director if the firm that's doing the audit has any requested work that they would like us to take on. Right now, we understand everything is moving forward, but... At this time, they are not asking the committee to provide any assistance. So that is basically our report, and we agreed that we would not meet monthly, but we would call meetings once we get something from the executive director asking that we hold a meeting to address whatever the needs are of the group that is doing the audit. So
I see three hands up. Sally, Serene, and Donna. Sally.
Yeah, at that meeting, there was discussion of a charter being made for the audit committee. Was that included in the material that was sent out to others that I will be getting? And if so, cool. And if not, what's the progress on that? Because I have some questions about understanding of how audit committees work, and the charter would presumably clarify your opinion on that. Thank you.
Okay.
So may I just, Madam Committee Chair, may I ask, I think the Secretary, Darlene Pagano, sent it out, and I, perhaps she can address whether the proposed charter, which as I understood listening to the meeting, will be addressed at the next meeting, when people have had the chance to take a look at it.
We have not drafted a charter, and I believe we had, a suggestion from the executive director that she help with that charter, as she's helping develop all of the committee charters for Pacifica. So we discussed the purpose and the scope of work, but that was done verbally and from my own notes. So that does not constitute a charter. And as we work on that, I will send it out to everybody.
Sally, did that answer your question?
Temporarily, yeah.
Serene.
Okay, so first I would ask that the audit committee report be sent to the full board. That's number one, pnb@pacifica.org. And the second thing is that the audit committee and audit committee is a check on management. The audit committee must have a direct relationship, an exchange of information directly with the outside auditor. They cannot go through management. The audit committee works to check and make sure management is doing the right thing at the right time. Management cannot be the conduit for a review of its own work. This is so clear. It's available on any website that you search, including, you know, the ones for our former auditors. It explains it very clearly. So,
Serene, you have made that statement.
I'm sorry, you are finished with that statement.
And you are incorrect. Okay? The auditor presents the final audit to the committee, does not have interaction with the committee in advance. I'm interrupting you because you're wrong, because you brought this up before. And if you continue to provide this misinformation, I'm going to ask that you be removed from the meeting, put in the waiting room until we finish with this item.
I strongly suggest you read about audit committees.
I have, and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. The auditor presents the findings to the committee. The auditor does not chit-chat with the committee while preparing the audit. The auditor has no interaction with the committee or board members while preparing the audit. It's upon the presentation. Okay, Donna, you're next.
Yes, just mentioned that the emails that talk about the charter and from Stephanie, I never received them, so I emailed Stephanie and she kindly sent them to me yesterday or the day before. And I guess I'd like to chip in on the comment about our relationship with the auditor. I don't know if the auditor will make a actual presentation to us. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. When the auditor has the final audit prepared, the auditor presents that to the committee. And then the committee is the one that receives it, asks questions about it, and reports to the board with the auditor. Stephanie does not present the audit. The auditor presents the audit.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the committee? All right. Next up is the coordinating committee. At our last meeting, we decided not to meet. We had a vote on it. The next up is the finance committee.
The finance committee met. What was that snickering that I just heard?
So let's just keep going and ignore
the snickering. Okay. Thank you. The finance committee has met, and we actually were able to hear from the new GM at KPFT, and he gave us a full rundown of how he hopes the future will look, and how he has in fact turned some stuff around, and they now have a positive cash amount in the bank. There were no references to the prior budget other than talking about how we don't have data, and it's my understanding that that's currently being worked on. We had a motion which was to require general managers and interim general managers and a station business manager, if there is one, otherwise the national office business manager, to attend the NFC meetings when financial results and budgets are being addressed for that station. And that's a motion that we're putting forth to the PNB and hoping that we can have that voted on. We also addressed briefly the idea that there was created 2 years ago a grid system that people were supposed to be qualifying their stations for, talking about which programs are working and bringing in new members. We postponed that as the executive director has got some additional material that they hope to get to us all. And there are several stations that are already doing that, and we're hoping to get reports from them for that. The entire meeting took less than an hour, and it was really good and successful.
So the committee has brought forward a motion for consideration of the board this evening. Madam Secretary, I don't know that we included it in the appendix. Let me say, I do not believe that approval is needed from the PNB. The committee established that as its policy. The vote was unanimous, and the executive director has agreed to comply with that.
Excellent.
So what our policy is now is that when a station's budget or financial report results are being addressed in the finance committee, the general manager and a local station business manager, if there is one, will attend. And it is strongly urged that the national business manager attend as well.
Additionally, we moved KPFK to our next meeting, and I'm going to ask the national office if they will help KPFK put together a budget. And that's not a motion, that's just a request.
So can Stephanie and maybe the KPFK directors address that question?
Yes, I just forwarded to you, Fred, the budget that was actually created on May 27th for KPFK.
Excellent.
It was a week before KPFK. Correct, KPFK. KPFK. The budget was created for that on May 27th, and I forwarded that to you just a couple minutes ago when you brought it up before the meeting.
Thank you.
So that was ready to go at the time, but what I'm going to do is ask them to update those numbers since we didn't get to look at that budget on the date that we had been planning on doing that.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for the Finance Committee? All right, Governance Committee.
Hey, I'm sorry. Before you start, Julie, the stream has apparently stopped again. Otis?
Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Serene. I'll call Otis.
Susan, would you like me to call Otis so that you can carry on with the meeting?
Keep going. Yes, that would be great if you would.
Sure.
Excuse me, I just checked. It's on.
Yeah, it's on.
So apparently that's misinformation. Thanks very much, Myla. Okay.
There is a problem. So call Otis anyway.
Well, okay, but it's on, it's working now.
I'll call him and just tell him that I will alert.
Thank you very much, Jan. Appreciate it. Julie.
Yes. So the governance committee. I'd in fact been, you know, close to scheduling a meeting for the governance committee to meet, and then the July 3rd court hearing date came up, and so it seemed prudent to wait till after that meeting, just on the outside chance that there would be a decision at that meeting. And so I will be scheduling a governance committee meeting for Thursday, July 24th at 8:30 p.m.
Are there questions? So, Donna, you've got your hand up. Is it about this? Donna?
I have a motion to present to the governance committee. And I'm going to read it out loud here. Move that at its first meeting, the PNB Governance Committee create a plan to increase the efficiency of disciplinary action that goes beyond muting, detention, waiting room, suspensions, and that the plan includes cancellation and lifelong bans for anyone who expresses criticism of any action that might displease the board majority. And I have three motivations. As it stands, the members of the PNB do not...
So Donna?
Yes.
If this is the motion that's going to be taken up by the governance committee,
mm-hmm.
then the motivating should happen when it comes to, and if it comes to, the PNB, because you are not bringing this motion forward for the PNB to adopt. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
You said it's for the governance committee. Provided to the governance committee.
I can do that, but since they haven't met and it doesn't sound like...
meeting. So, Julie, would you be kind to address that?
I'd be happy for... if Donna wants to send me the motion, you know, and we can take it up at the governance committee.
Okay.
And when is the governance committee meeting, Julie?
It is July 24th. Which is a Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
I have a question, please.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so I don't think it's Donna who's on from KPFA. So I think it would be good if the PNB could actually hear the motion and maybe make a recommendation to the governance committee when we finally meet.
No, Serene. She can provide it to Julie. Julie has already agreed that she will bring it forward to the governance committee. Okay. Next agenda item, I believe, is the ED report, which we're very anxious to hear.
Sorry. May I interrupt? It is actually the affiliates report.
Sorry. Is there a report from the affiliates, Kaja or Jerome?
Yes.
Okay, please go ahead.
All right. I'm going to start us off and Jerome will finish the report. So this was prepared by Ursula. She wanted me to mention that as far as the affiliate network unit's finances, they're on track with the operation fiscal goals for 2025. The affiliate network is remaining in the black, meeting budgeted expenses, expanding slightly with 6 new affiliates to date this fiscal year, and projected total income will be approximately $7,000 higher than last year. The affiliate network unit has collected 72% of projected 2025 revenue from affiliate fees. That projected income was 240,000. Received so far this year is 173,810. Collected affiliate fees that were overdue from previous fiscal years have amounted to 16,752. Out of projected 6,000 in donations, the affiliate unit has received 6,004. Out of projected 8,000 in grants, they've received 10,377. Total revenue to date has been 207,664. She made a special note that 10% of affiliate fees are now IT revenue, and what that means, subscriptions to internet technology services provided by the network unit to affiliates, that's what that's made up of, and they've increased by 6,000 from the previous fiscal year. And she made a note that David Klan of Broadcast Tool and Die provides IT support to subscribers to the affiliate network unit's IT services. NFCB report, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, for those who don't know what the acronym stands for. She says, following an introductory video conference between Stephanie Wells, our ED, Ursula, and NFCB CEO, Rima Deal, as well as Sarah Mead, who is the NFCB Director of Member Engagement, the unit staff and Stephanie Wells attended the NFCB's conference in Salt Lake City, which I believe was about a month ago. KPFA's manager, Antonio Ortiz, and staff were also at the conference, providing positive support. This was NFCB's 50th anniversary event as well. The affiliate unit was a sponsor and generally enjoyed being an impactful, positive presence. The booth, Pacifica's booth, was constantly busy, and Ursula estimates that they will gain 4 new affiliates as a result. The affiliate meeting was hosted and sponsored by the Association of Affiliates, who provided refreshments and featured a presentation by Stephanie Wells, our ED. Many appreciated meeting her and hearing her presentation. Also, apparently, Amy Goodman, who was the keynote speaker, promoted Pacifica a hell of a lot during her keynote speech. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. So, Jerome, you take it from there.
All right. In the way of content development, we continue to work on news capacity for Pacifica, seeking communication with all potential partners within Pacifica and parallel organizations. Most actively, we work with WBAI staff led by Bob Hennelly to produce weekly reports, which we call it Community Report, featuring local news stories from affiliate stations, which are aired on WBAI on Monday mornings as part of their We Decide morning news show. The reports are available in audio port, and some affiliates have started to give these reports scheduled airtime as well. Audio port's menu of distribution content continues to gain approximately 2 new programs each and every week, making Contact an independent legacy program distributed by Pacifica for many years, has lost its host organization, and we're in conversation with them, led by Stephanie Wells, about possibly absorbing the program as a Pacifica program. It comes with a sterling reputation, large audience, and potential funders. Media support, we have worked with Stephanie Wells to develop a statement that we are inviting our affiliates to sign to show solidarity and mutual support in the face of possible threats. The Association of Affiliates has signed, and more signatories will be added as they join. Also, Leon Kerber, a staff member of affiliate station WSLR LP, Sarasota, Florida, will join a Pacifica meeting this month to lead a discussion about on-site safety for community radio stations. He is a professional security expert.
And that's the end of
I've got my hand up first, and I just simply wanted to say that I think that the robust representation of the affiliates by Kaja and Jerome is just a huge benefit to us all, and that the collaboration that is underway with the affiliates, with Ursula, with Bob Henley, with Antonio Ortiz, with others, is stunning and is exactly the direction we need to be going in. One of the greatest assets that Pacifica has is the affiliates network. Thank you all for representing it so effectively on this board, and may we better understand how to broaden our collaborations.
Thank you, okay, appreciate that. I second that emotion.
Thank you very much, Harvey. Okay, Serene, you've got your hand up. Anybody else have questions or comments? Serene.
So thanks for reading that report. I have a request for you guys. If you can point out to Ursula that we actually have, well, we have people who've been on the air at our stations for decades. We also have people who've been on for 5 years and so forth. But there's been no recent contact, I guess I would say, between her office and many of the producers. So I don't know whether she would want to arrange it through to visit staff meetings or whatever the case is. But a lot of the newer producers don't even know that AudioPort exists and that it's a way for them to promote their work beyond, you know, their station, beyond the listening area. So if you can just plant a seed that she, you know, either through email or contact with the GMs or the PDs, to offer to actually interact with current station staff and explain how that works.
We'll definitely make a note of that, Serene.
Yeah, we'll
great.
Okay.
Fred.
I just want to cheer boy the affiliates. You guys are great. You know, I've been on this this particular journey for 4 years now, and this is where I dreamed we would get to. And I am so proud to be working with you and helping any way that I can to make this real. You guys rock. Ursula is fantastic. Bob Henley working with the crew. Antonio Ortiz is great. I really wish and hope that every station will take advantage of this, because this is what Pacific is. And I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both for a great report. Any additional questions to either Jerome or Kaja? Okay. Moving on. I think that now the, Julie, it's tell me if I'm right or wrong, the ED report.
It is indeed the ED report, and that's a 30-minute item.
Okay. Thank you. Stephanie, take it away, and I hope you'll accept questions during the report.
Oh, of course. Some of the things I won't go over because they are listed in the report, such as the aged payables, the FJC loan. We're still on time and making those payments early. Everything that I'll be talking about is in the ED report, so people can refer to that, including multiple attachments. So I'll start off with a summary of the court ruling in the Pacifica Foundation versus New Day Pacifica case. And the final court ruling is attached, but I will read the summary out loud of that. The court denied the motion to intervene in the Pacifica Legal, to intervene in Pacifica Legal settlement. So on July 3rd, 2025, the Los Angeles Superior Court issued a ruling denying a motion filed by six individuals seeking to intervene in a recently settled legal case involving the Pacifica Foundation. They had asked the court to cancel the dismissal of the case and reject the settlement agreement that had been reached in Pacifica Foundation, Inc. v. New Day Pacifica. The court denied the motion to intervene and upheld the dismissal and settlement of the case. The court denied the request for the following reasons. The court found that the case had already been properly resolved and dismissed, and there was no longer an active lawsuit to intervene in. The motion to intervene was filed too late. It was nearly 4 years after the case began and after the settlement had been negotiated, approved by the Pacifica National Board, and finalized by the court.
Even if the case were still open, the court found that the proposed interveners had been aware of the litigation throughout its duration and in some cases were members of the Pacifica National Board themselves. The court also determined that their interests were represented during the legal process, especially since the Pacifica Board, of which some were a part of, had voted to authorize the mediation and approve the settlement. The court also stated that allowing the intervention now would delay and disrupt a properly settlement agreement that all parties had properly negotiated. So the bottom line was basically the court ruled that the motion to intervene and undo the settlement was untimely and without sufficient legal grounds. Therefore, the motion was denied. As I said, the final court ruling is attached to the ED report, and we are going to do the summary that I created for the report, was approved by legal, and so we will put that up on pacifica.org, and it can be shared with LSBs in case anybody has any questions.
If I could just interject here, we did invite Todd, the attorney for the settlement, to join us this evening. He is at a conference, unable to do so. We're going to invite him to attend an August meeting and give any follow-up at that time. Are there more questions? Are there questions for Stephanie about the July 3rd decision of the court? Okay, Stephanie.
No, Julie.
Yeah, just a quick one. At the WPFW LSB meeting, there was a question about whether there was any potential for appeal of the decision that the court handed down. And I recognize that you can't answer that, but if you could forward that to Todd and find out the answer to that, I think people at WPFW would appreciate the response.
I could respond to that.
Thank you, Jen. Yes, I recognize you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, there is not a chance to appeal that the settlement included waiver of appeals. So there will be no appeals. This case is over. The parties are dismissed. And if someone wants to do something, they have to pursue other means, not this case. This case is the court made very clear that this case is over. And part of that was the fact that, that the parties had waived, appeals as part of the settlement.
Thank you, Jan. Okay. Serene, Phillip.
Do you have any more questions about that, Julie, or is that clear enough?
No, that was helpful. I think maybe some of the other, PFW LSB members had other questions, but I don't remember them off the top of my head, and I don't have them in email. But so there might be more that come forward, but that's what I remembered. Sorry.
Okay, fine. And I'm available to answer most of those questions also.
So Serene, then Philip, then Ron, then Fred. Serene.
So I think I saw a copy of the judge's order. And did it say that Jan was appearing in place of Arthur Schwartz or something like that?
No.
Does anyone remember that wording?
No, Jan appeared for Newgate Pacifica.
Okay, I'll have to try to dig it up again. Stephanie.
And I will say that the judge's ruling, there were a couple of typos and little things. And that was the minute order, and there will probably be a more formal order because she issued the minute order the same day as the hearing, and it mm-hmm. was several pages long. So that's a minute order, and then there'll be a more formal order.
Okay. How many pages? What did you say? How many pages?
Serene, I'm sorry. Hard to hear you. Will you repeat?
I'm asking Jan to repeat what she said about how many pages long the minute order was.
It's attached to the ED report.
Yeah, it was at least 4 pages long.
4 or 5 pages, possibly 6. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Stephanie did send a 68-page report an hour before the meeting. I'll get to it, but I.
So understood. You'll have a chance to see it then. What's your other question?
So Stephanie, when you say, okay, so you're going to take questions later on about the rest. This is just about the big, beautiful bylaws that we have now as of July 3rd or
whatever. I resent that.
Please, Fred, yeah, Serene, please do not make derogatory statements. Fred, you're not recognized by the chair.
So, Stephanie, to be clear, I do have a question about the FJC, but this section is just about the July 3rd issue, correct?
You can ask questions about FJC. That's fine.
Okay, thanks. So I know you said that instead of waiting to pay them at the end of each quarter, you've been paying monthly. Do they give us credit for that as soon as it hits, or do they only give us credit and therefore reduce the interest that we're being charged? Do they do that on a monthly basis, or do they only do that on a quarterly basis? Just wondering.
Monthly. They have changed their billing process for us for a monthly bill and credit during that month.
Okay, great. And I look for, oh, I wanted to say to people who, and I can't use the term, well, of course I can, the big, beautiful bylaws. There are.
I object!
Stop. I call them member.
Point of order.
So Serene, what do you wish to say about the bylaws that is not just a derogatory, snarky remark?
I don't know why. I mean, they're great bylaws. You guys have been raving about them, so why wouldn't you celebrate
Listen,
them?
Listen, this is irrelevant. Serene will
call the member to order.
Serene will come back to you. Philip, Serene will come back to you. Philip, you're next, then Ron, then Fred.
So I am obviously a big supporter of the change in the bylaws, and I want a full-out explanation to come down on how this will actually happen. I mean, when will we have an election? Who will be elected from whom? Will stations be represented, or are we talking, people are confused and want to know what comes next. So instead of talking about what used to be and what is gone, which is the old bylaws, which are horrible, I think we have to start talking about what comes next. And what comes next will probably be two slates of candidates. You know it's going to be two slates. And how is this going to come down? I mean, we're going to have national elections. They're not going to be local elections. We're going to have national elections where all five stations will have one slate of candidates to choose from, or two slates of candidates to choose from. So I think that people should get ready for that. I mean, that's what's coming next, and we should actually prepare for that.
Philip, if I may just say, you're bringing up the excellent point that now we had trouble getting to this discussion because it always broke into, but July 3rd, it may get reversed.
No, it's not reversed. It's not reversed.
It's not reversed. It's exactly right. There have been particularly, the secretary has put together a what was, what is, and what are the move forwards. We have those prepared, but we need to set aside the time to discuss them with each LSB. We also have been requested to make a presentation to all of the management. And so that's those at national office and at the local stations, so that there is a clear understanding of what the new bylaws call for. And so you're very timely in saying we need to do that.
Well, I think also the LSBs are feeling like, now what do we do? What's our job? Essentially, why do we have LSBs at all? So we have to articulate that.
Agreed. Ron, then Fred, then Jan. Ron.
Okay, I have one question related to the bylaws decision. I just want to be clear about the, that it's being said that everybody's on the LSBs, currently on the LSBs, no matter what their term is, will be, what's the word, their terms will be extended until 2026. Is that correct?
Those currently serving will have their terms extended.
No.
Okay.
That's not
okay.
No, sorry. Jan's got her. Let me recognize Jan, who may have a technical response that I'm incorrect about. Jan.
And I have another question for Stephanie unrelated to this. Go ahead.
Okay. So.
Sure. And let's come back to you about the Stephanie question. Jan.
So there's nobody whose term is supposed to end this year because this would have been the, you know, we have elections 2 out of 3 years. So this is the year that there was no election. So everybody who's elected, their term, the end of everybody's term will end next at the end of 2026. So there won't be any, nobody's term is going to be extended. And with regard to, I just want to make a note with regard to Phillips' statement that there, you know, there are only going to be national elections and there's only going to be like two slates. Lots of people can run for the national offices. There will be people, there are national offices, 4 national offices, the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer, and everybody will vote for those people. But there will undoubtedly be, you know, as many people who want to run for those offices as possible. There might be slates, but there will also be people will be able to run independently. And there will be local elections because there will be people at each station will elect officers of the local station board, and the and those officers include a coordinator for fundraising and a coordinator for membership and outreach. So I just wanted to.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Ron, do you have any questions answered?
I had that question, but I have one more unrelated to this. Okay.
Is it the one for Stephanie?
Yes.
Let's come back to you for that.
Why? It's just a quick question. You know, quite
okay,
a simple
so
answer.
is it about the bylaws or is it about something else?
No, it is not about the bylaws.
So that we're going to come back to Stephanie's report and questions about things that are not about the bylaws in the next round. So I'll put you back on. Fred.
Okay. All right.
I was not a member of New Day. I did not negotiate any of these settlements. This stuff was all ended back in April, and it's only through some really extreme, bizarre misrepresentations of the legal process that we had to go back to court for what was not a necessary hearing on the 3rd. The results were exactly the same as they were back in April. I have been on this board for a number of years, and it is time for us to move on. When people ask what the LSBs do or the CABs do, you help generate more subscribers. You help generate more listeners. You go out and you represent the community and talk to people about the importance of supporting the entire network. It's time for the PNB and for Pacifica to act like the affiliates, to actually be responsible in building community radio. And it's time to put all this rancor and snark and nasty comments aside.
So let me just insert here. We're running out of time. And I know there are additional points that Stephanie wishes to raise and questions to be asked. We have a time certain at 9:45 Eastern, I believe, to go into executive session. So, Myla, Dennis, we wanted to come back. Let me just ask Stephanie. We need more time, by the way, about the bylaws. We are not going to have the necessary conversation tonight about the 2025 bylaws. Stephanie, let me take you back to the additional report from the executive director.
Did you recognize me, Susan?
I'm getting back to Stephanie to be able to finish her report, and then we'll have the last questions that we have for her. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Again, a lot of the things, you know, can be read within the ED report. And one of the reasons too that the ED report is 68 pages long is because attached to it are the fiscal year 2022 990s. Also, once again, attached is the notes that are the required things that need to be done by management at the stations and at a national level for the audit, as well as the audit engagement letter. There's also information regarding the safety training that the affiliates had talked about of what we had covered with that. So a lot of those pages really are the taxes that were attached. Regarding the general manager job postings, very pleased to announce that Sandy Weinman has been appointed as the permanent general manager at KPFT. Sandy has been a dedicated programmer at KPFT for many years and served as the interim volunteer interim general manager since July 1st of 2022. Under Sandy's leadership and alongside a very strong and talented team at KPFT, I've had the pleasure of being able to visit them quite a few times. The station has really made a remarkable turnaround, moving from financial distress to stability and growth. So I have very full confidence in the KPFT team and believe that this positive momentum will continue. There were 16 applicants for the KPFT GM position, and each candidate was evaluated against 10 core criteria. That chart of that criteria, which is the same thing that I am using for all of the candidates that are applying for the GM positions across the network, so you can see what those key core elements are. Of the applicants at KPFT, 5 of the 16 had prior community radio experience, and 2 met 7 or more of the 10 criteria. It's a very easy chart to follow, and again, it's as an attachment to the ED report. The application acceptance deadline for the other stations has been extended to August 15th for the GM positions at KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW. To date, we have received the following number of applications: 3 for KPFA, 7 for KPFK, 3 for WPFW, 6 for WBAI, and 1 unspecified. The person was unsure what station they wanted to apply to. All of the candidates are being pre-screened through a series of phone interviews, being led by myself. And once they all get through that interview process with the phone, then I move them on to other panels and other phone interviews, and then also Zoom interviews. And some of those interviews, so far, they are involving other general managers at other stations, some who may not be wanting to return to that position and haven't applied to the position, but I want the general managers to be able to talk to other general managers as to what the role involves. They will not be talking to the general managers of the stations of which they are applying to. And also with KPFT, we invited staff members that they would be working with to be a part of that interview process. The job description, since the date has been changed, will be reposted on each of the station's websites, as well as Pacifica.org. It has been shown up at the CPB job line, the NFCB website, Grassroots Radio Coalition, Pacifica Announce List, Philanthropy News Digest Job Board, Candidate Job Line, Fast Forward Job Board, the Center for Nonprofit Resources, LinkedIn, Work for Good, Radio Inc. Job Board, and Radio Insight Board. So the job posting is attached to the ED report, and I encourage individuals to send it out to anybody that they know that might be interested. And any interested individuals can send their resume and cover letter to hr@pacifica.org. Also in the ED. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I mean, we can break if people want questions at this point.
We're under a time gun, so why don't you finish? Okay. And then we'll go back and get everybody's questions.
And again, as you review through the ED report, once again, I pulled out sections that were appeared in the last ED report just regarding the taxes and the audit. One of the things that I said that is completed here and attached to the ED report is the IRS Form 990 for fiscal year 22. It is also up on the Pacifica.org website. Fiscal year 2023 has been completed, but it's still under final review. The audit committee or the audit,
The auditors finished it, sent it back to us for some questions. We provided the details that they needed, sent it back to them for review. So as soon as they finish their final review of that, it will be sent off to the IRS and to California and all the necessary places that we need to send it. And then that will be forwarded to the PNB to review as well. We are also at that point then start working on the taxes for 2024. And those will be done before the extension, which we've already been approved for, which is most organizations apply for extensions anyway. At the same time, they're working on the audit, which is a combined audit for 2022 and 2023. And we're doing that approach, as I've said before, to ensure timely completion of both of the years while reducing the cost of preparing two separate reports. Then as soon as they finish those two, we will then get another engagement letter for them to start working on fiscal year 2024. The engagement letter is attached to the ED report, if anybody wants to review that yet once again. And then also for reference is the request for clients assistance form, which outlines what we receive at the national office from the auditors of the information that we need to provide from all eight units in order to get the auditors, the audits going. And again, our eight units in Pacifica are all five stations, the affiliates network, the archives, and the Pacifica National Office. Also in the ED report, but the affiliates already talked about it a little bit, was the attendance to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters in Salt Lake. Personally attending, it was a wonderful opportunity to see that there are so many people in the world of community radio that have been impacted by Pacifica in a very positive way. They, almost everybody has come through Pacifica at some point.
Apologies, Stephanie. Hmm? Yeah, we've got a time problem. We did hear about it before from Kaja and from and from Jerome, and it's in your written report.
Perfect.
Quickly, questions.
Yeah.
Milo.
Yeah, I just wanted to circle back quickly and just say, put a pin in it with respect to Ron Pinchback's question about the extension of terms, because we also have to take into account that there is a time limit of 6 consecutive years. So if anyone who's on an LSB gets to the point where they have accumulated 6 consecutive years, we may have to address replacing them and having them take a year hiatus. Thank you.
Okay. I think there was Ron, and then I think Serene had a question maybe about FJC. Ron?
Yes. Thank you, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, we understand we've heard through the pipeline that there will be a contract developed for on-air programmers that all on-air programmers will have to sign at some point. That's an interest to us because we have been developing a programmer bill of rights for the past several years and have completed that and are trying to implement that. The question is there a time frame as to when this contract will be available for inspection and use? Do you have any idea of a time frame regarding that?
Yes, I am probably by the end of next week. We have been working quite diligently for a long time to create a programmer's contract or an MOU that has already been written in working with some programmers at some of the stations as to what they've been looking for with a contract. And that currently right now is in the hands of a labor nonprofit attorney who is reviewing what's in there. And then we will go back to the programmers that we have been having a task group with to make sure that it meets the guidelines of what we're looking for. Because what we want, and we're also creating a Pacifica Foundation volunteer handbook with volunteer programmers. And we've also created, which Fred had alluded to, which I sent to the National Finance Committee already, grid analysis procedures, which would be one-on-one conversations with these programmers for each program, the team, and then also the general managers, program directors, or membership director, whoever is having the most contact with the programmers, talking about their needs, how much money they're raising, you know, listener numbers, those kind of things. We've already had that analysis done at KPFA and also at KPFT and also at WPFW, but the WPFW grid review analysis didn't involve how much money was being raised. So we're adding that. So we've created a grid analysis
template so we can have it uniform across the place. We also have grievance procedures that we've already worked up for volunteers. We have a grievance procedure already with the employees, but volunteers are technically employees, give or take, within the Pacifica, you know, program, volunteer programmers. So we have that grievance procedure that's also there as well. We've also written employee protocol.
What you have described much of this in your ED report, haven't
correct.
You?
Yes. So and all of these attachments are already in the hands of the attorney, and he has already reviewed a lot of them, but made an ask if I could meet with him next week, the week of the 14th, to move forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think, Dennis, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. I want to know if all the stations are represented in the programmers that you've been working with on the contract stuff, because we put in a lot of work on grievance procedure and a bill of rights for volunteers already. And if this is going to supersede it, I just want to know if some of that work that has been done is going to be sort of taken into account and subsumed.
I'm hoping that it will. I mean, back in May, in response to questions that I received from WPFW, and I had forwarded this to Kamau, which he had forwarded mm-hmm. to me based on questions that everybody had regarding the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. I had recommended and asked that that what you have done so far be forwarded to me, because I would like to review the code of conduct and the grievous process that your LSB has written, because I want to ensure that it can be what you've done already, if that can be implemented consistently across the organization and in alignment with some of these existing policies. Okay. I haven't seen any of those yet. Nothing has been forwarded to me, but I would very much appreciate and hope that I could get support and input from the yeah. LSBs and from I don't even think the programmers have seen anything with this Bill of Rights either. So it would be wonderful, again, if that could be forwarded to me at some point so I could at least take a look at it and try to implement it.
Okay, thank you.
You'll have it tomorrow. So, you'll have it thank tomorrow.
Thank you.
Great, excellent. So we are we're past time certain.
We have a minute and 9 seconds, Madam Chair.
This is that I would be.
Okay, so Serene, go ahead.
Okay, Stephanie, so a few things really quick. A number of us have been talking about these new bylaws for some time, and you know, members also very interested in what is changing. So there's going to be a meeting next Saturday, and you're welcome to attend. And bring your report to discuss with, you know, the ordinary folks. If folks go to pacificafightback.org, they'll see the details on how to join the town hall. I'm interested in whether or not you have shared with any of the stations the insurance requirements that you've mentioned, that were mentioned in that motion that was then used to cancel the KPFK LSB meeting last month, so that folks aren't just running out there trying to figure out what you mean by liability insurance, what amounts are we talking, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to know what the status is. I think I wrote to you about this. I didn't get a response to that. What is the status of the and the previous cost of the directors and officers insurance? Because decisions that are being made that I fear may end up with us involved in litigation, and I don't think people should be punished for doing their best on the board. So please present the board with something with regard to reestablishing that coverage before next month's meeting. And
we are at time, Madam Chair.
Remembering.
Move to adjourn.
Real quickly, as stated in the last ED report about having in-person events, it's more that we have liability insurance. That was stated at the last meeting. There's riders that need to be purchased, and we do that on a regular basis for any event that is held in person. It's more than just the insurance that we need to look at. There's a lot of other factors that need to take place when planning an event in the name of Pacifica, as far as security, you know, basic budget. There are things we might have to file with the city. So there's a lot of other things, because we have liability insurance. Directors and officers insurance, I have been trying to get quotes from various places. Some of the insurance that we had in the past It was filled out incorrectly by people that held this position prior to me, stating that we had not been involved in any lawsuits. They weren't listing any of the factors of the biggest thing was that we had claimed, or the person, whoever had filled it out, claimed that we had never really been involved in any lawsuits. So part of the cancellation of that insurance was the misinformation that was put in the applications.
Stop us there, because we need to get to, Serene had a lot of questions. Fred, can we?
Recognize me?
So Stephanie, have you notified the stations about the policy is what I'm asking.
Susan, did you?
Oh, yeah, all the stations, yes, all of the stations we've had liability for 2 years now.
So what we'll do, Serene,
they have the insurance forms on file.
The policy regarding The policy not regarding, not hold on, Serene. The policy was adopted by the PNB, and we will so inform the stations. Okay? It's not Stephanie, it's the PNB. Okay, Fred.
No,
yeah, I'm moving to adjourn.
Does not run the stations. The GM.
Right, but the in-person events, when there's an in-person, I'm sorry to explain this longer, but any sort of in-person event that's run by the station, they're dealing with Markeisha and I on a regular basis, because we get their riders, we fill out the necessary permits with the city, we do all the information that needs to be done for an in-person fundraising event. KPFT just had one, KPFA, KPFK had one. We get those riders when they have booths somewhere at a conference, a book fair, we get those additional riders, we fill out the forms, I sign the contracts. The other in-person events that we're talking about are some of these town halls or LSB meetings where they're being planned by volunteers and not necessarily going through the national office or going through the stations to get them planned. So then when we have flyers and things that are going out, I have to be able to see those to make sure that we have the 503 number on the bottom, that we have any disclaimers, that we have the correct logos, that everything looks clean and correct for Pacifica. We'll create QR codes. There's a big difference there.
We will make sure that the general managers and the local station boards are all informed of this policy. All five stations. Okay, Fred.
I asked for adjournment, and I'm being interrupted and ignored. Spoken over.
The open meeting is adjourned. We will go off the stream, and we will it is 9:54, and we will reconvene in executive session. And we will reconvene in executive session in 5 minutes, and that means at 10 o'clock Eastern Time.